Well, I'm not sure how to begin this word. Your worry should be, do I know how to finish the word? But anyway, we're going to be looking at the book of Malachi, and it's been certain references this morning to that. That word's been working on me all week, so I'll share it with you. Father, just bless the words that come forth. Let there be the fire of the Holy Spirit, Lord, just the fire of your nature, your anointing, your light, to bring the change to our lives that are needed right now. Amen. You know, when you tune into your spirit and the Holy Spirit, you sense God drawing near, God looking for us, yearning for us. And that can draw different reactions from us. One reaction from a natural standpoint is, uh-oh, what'd I do now? You know, what'd I do wrong? God's looking. He's going to judge. And again, we create images in our mind of who God is that don't represent him at all. We try to recreate God in our image instead of realizing that we've been created in his image. And our mind's always doing that. If God's drawing near, and because we have poor self-esteem and we're constantly being reminded of our faults, we're saying, okay, God must be looking at my faults. I better clean up my act. Or it could stir up religious zeal in us. God's searching for us. Okay, God, I'm going to give a better effort. Because in our thinking, deep down in our subconscious, it's that feeling of no matter what I do, it's not good enough. Where does that come from? Not from God. That's our experience in earth with other people growing up. That's part of the human experience. Not good enough is not in God's vocabulary when he looks at us. So we sense this yearning, yet we have so much built up in our thinking about who God is that it's false, that we need to be willing to lay it down, that we can experience him as he really is. It boils down to this. God is not a religion. He's a living being that we are meant to experience through relationship. That's what the blood of Christ is all about. That's what his sacrifice of his life is all about, the cross. That God would become the relationship with us that he's desired. John 17, oneness with the Father. When we talk about heaven on earth, we're not just talking about a spattering of miracles here and there, as wonderful as they are. Heaven on earth is that experience of oneness, of relationship with the Father, being real and being manifest. Because that's what eternity is all about. Being in Christ, in the Father, experiencing oneness with that being, eternal relationship with him. So we look at the book of Malachi. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. You don't need to turn there. I'm just going to give an overview. It's post-exile. It means when the Israelites came back from their time in Babylon. It refers to the temple, so it probably was written after the temple was rebuilt. And everything should have been fine. Israel's back in their land, temple rebuilt. Yet it's a warning. God is speaking a warning. And if you read the first few chapters, what he's doing is he's trying to correct their lax religious behavior. Particularly, he's talking about the priests. The people are questioning God's love for them. See, here they're back doing their religious duties, and yet there's a question. They're going, God, do you really love us? Because there's no connection. If you read the second chapter, he talks about the worship of God is no longer a priority with the people. They're dishonoring God. He says, when you offer animals for sacrifice, you're offering the blind. You're offering your worst instead of your best. And this will go into the third chapter too. But what is God looking at here? I mean, God is reminding the people, okay, you're doing your duty, but your heart's not in it. And so often Malachi is used, of course, the chapter that deals with tithing to get people to give money. Malachi is not about tithing. Malachi is about religion versus relationship. The people had the promise fulfilled. They were back in their own land. They were doing their religious duties. Now, again, this is a time under law. So animal sacrifices, doing the temple duties was all part of their life, following the law. But they were half-hearted about it. And God is just sharing that with them. We need to look at, basically, what is God looking for now from us? If all we are doing is being religious, if God is a religion, you start out with a lot of zeal. But at suffering the disappointments in life, that zeal will become apathy at some point. If God is a religion, then God is a disappointment to us. We want to really be honest. If you've been on this road long enough, then that's your conclusion. If God is a relationship, it's a relational reality, then all the things we've gone through simply build and add depth and make his love more real to our lives. It's not that we like everything we go through, but we're aware of the growth that takes place in us because of those things. So when God looked at Israel and said, you're offering me the worst on the altars, you're not, you know, the priests are not doing their job, we look at that and we say, okay, God, what are you expecting from us? Now, they talked about bringing the tithe into the temple. I don't know, unless you have some grain offering out there or some animals you want to bring somewhere. This is not referring to present-day church tithing. This is referring to us as a temple of God. What are we bringing him? Well, first of all, what does he want us to bring him? Because when you think about what are we bringing him, you know, in church that would be translated as, get with it, people. Come on, 10 services more, get with the program, do more. Again, that thinking of no matter what we do, it's not good enough. God expects us to jump through a few more hoops. It's never, never enough. But the will of God is a present reality. When we understand it's a relationship, his will is not a tomorrow reality. It's not something in the future. It's something that we are doing right now. So what does God expect of us? Well, one scripture in Romans chapter 12 says, dedicate all of yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is the act of worship. And let God renew your minds from within. What is God looking for? Us. The sacrifice is not what we give him. I'll give you an hour a day, 2 hours a day. I'll give you three chapters out of the Word and 20 minutes of prayer, three services a week. He's not asking for that. He's asking for you to lay your life on the altar. Why? Because this is all about relationship. Religion is about giving God of ourselves, but we maintain control. We're independent. Our will is still to do what we want to do. Relationship means we turn our will over to him. And we say, God, you're the driver. Lead my life the way you want it to go. John 6:29, they asked him about how we do the work of God. And we can look at this and say, what does God expect? He says, that you believe, trust in, rely on, in the one he has sent. What is God looking for? Do you have to go out and work miracles and see the sick healed and all those wonderful things that we're believing for God to be pleased with you? No. All he asks is that you believe. And not just believe in him like just a theory or a doctrine, but rely and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, that's a relational truth. Chapter 3 of Malachi, he says, I'm sending my messenger ahead to clear the way for me. Suddenly, the leader you have been looking for will enter his temple. Who will be able to stand his coming? He will take his place as a refiner. He will refine the priests until they're fit for God. Return to me so that I can return to you. When we have this heart for relationship, he becomes a refiner's fire. That's such a good thing. Refining means removing all the things that are blocking our life in him. Removing all the walls, the obstacles. Again, if we don't have a will that says, thy will be done, if we're not willing, he's not going to be a refiner's fire in our life. And I know Steve was just sharing that. It's so true. He doesn't violate our wills. That's why the earth is in such a mess. People do what they want to do, and they say, well, if there's a God, why doesn't he stop this? Because he gave us free will. So if our will is given over to him and it's about relationship, then he can become a refiner's fire, refine our lives in the way that he wants. Goes on in chapter 4. He says, talks about the arrogance will be burned up. I love this. When it's about relationship, we're good, okay. Heard Malachi 3, I'm going, wait, I just finished that. When we're in relationship, this thing of arrogance can finally be confronted by the Spirit. Human pride is one of the greatest enemies we have in our relationship with the Lord. It says in chapter 4, arrogance will be burned up. How's it being burned up? That refiner's fire. It's taking the arrogance out. The Sun of Righteousness will dawn on those who honor my name. Healing radiating from them. Bursting with energy. He said, remember to keep the law given to Moses and also look ahead. I'm sending Elijah to clear the way for that day of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the children to the fathers. It's talking about when that refiner's fire is working, and that's, again, a relational reality when we're in relationship. Arrogance is taken out of the way. Healing and spiritual energy bursts forth. The Sun of Righteousness, that light is seen. And we're able to experience the way being cleared for God to take his proper place in our lives. And this is what we're looking for. What's the second coming all about? You know, when's Jesus going to come? What's it going to be like? All I know is we have to have the way cleared in our lives where God resides in his temple, in us, the way he wants to. Now, we can put him in a place and say, Lord, I want you in my life because I have all these needs and you need to do all these things for me. But we're in control there. We're trying to make God a part of the picture to give us what we want. This is not about getting what we want. And that's what the people in Malachi were saying. You know, what do we get out of all this? When you're given to the Lord in relationship, you don't ask that question. It's not what do I get out of it. It's thank you, God, that I'm walking in relationship with you. We're aware of his love, and we realize that that is enough. So in that fourth chapter, he talks about Elijah returning, preparing the way, turning the hearts of the fathers to the children. What's that talking about? Oneness. Oneness is the result of relationship replacing religion. We will never have spiritual oneness with religion. At best, a little bit of unity. At worst, a lot of division, a lot of judging, because we all think differently. But when it's about relationship, God creates a spiritual oneness that supersedes our natural thinking. It's a miraculous thing. And that is the atmosphere. That's the family atmosphere for the prophetic community to function and operate. Matthew 11:10, Jesus said, he is the prophet that Malachi announced when he wrote, I'm sending my prophet ahead of you to make the road smooth for you. Verse 14, John is the Elijah you've all been expecting to arrive and introduce the Messiah. Now, what we're looking at here is from Malachi, it talks about Elijah coming back. And people say, well, he's going to come back someday in the future. Well, I don't know about that. All I know is that scripture was fulfilled with John the Baptist. Jesus said, that's Elijah. To me, this is not about reincarnation. To me, this is about the spirit that Elijah had, the anointing that he had, returning. And that's what John the Baptist was all about. The ministry he had of repentance was having the people change in the way they thought about God. Because again, when Jesus came, the thinking was, this is all about religion. Yet how would they be able to receive the Lord that way? There's no way. He was always offending the religious. So what John the Baptist was all about in the spirit of Elijah was about a change of heart and being able to receive Jesus, the Son of God, in relationship. And that's when it comes together and makes sense. If we are stuck in our religious arrogance, God will always be offending us. We need to be freed from that. And that's what the ministry of John the Baptist was all about. The ministry of Elijah was all about. If you look at and it's interesting when they asked John the Baptist in John 1:21 who he was. Are you Elijah? He goes, I'm not Elijah. I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the prophet. I'm just making the road straight for God. It's interesting to me that how God saw him and how John the Baptist saw himself were two different things. He's denying who he really is. Jesus said, this is Elijah here. John's saying, that's not me. But it didn't matter what he said. He was that. That anointing of Elijah was coming through him. He was a very humble man, and I think it was hard for him to relate to that type of ministry, but that's what he manifested. In Luke 1, verse 16 and 17, it says, he will turn many back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah, turning the hearts of the fathers back to the children, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. How are we going to be ready for the Lord's return? When the heart is turned and oneness is restored. Until there is oneness, we are not ready for Jesus to return to the earth. 1 Kings 18, verse 21, and that chapter deals with Elijah confronting the prophets of Baal. And Israel had fallen under a spell. And why did they get to a place where they were worshiping Baal anyway? It's because to them, God was a religion. They denied the relationship. Moses, you go up the mountain and meet with God. We don't want to go up there. Just come back and tell us what to do. There's religion. Tell me what to do instead of let me experience you. So it's no wonder that they fell under the spell of deception and delusions. You know, the enemy was able to delude their thinking. So Elijah comes up and he says this. He stood up against the hypocrisy of Israel. And basically what he did in having the altar being prepared and watered down and God provided that fire and consumed the altar, he brought down the religious walls so that people could see what the Father was after. 1 Kings 18:21 says, how long are you going to sit on the fence? This is a word to the religious. If God is the real God, follow him. If it's Baal, follow him. Make up your minds. So the impact of that miracle did something to the thinking of the people. Their response in verse 39, after that miracle, they fell on their faces in awed worship, saying, God is the true God. That's how God got through to them. That's the ministry of Elijah. Isn't that, in your mind, probably the most important thing you remember him doing? That's the ministry of John the Baptist. Something of the Spirit coming through, preparing people for who the Lord really is. John the Baptist, repent, repent. What is that all about? Change how you think. And he had an anointing when he baptized people that began to work in their thoughts, preparing them for the coming of Jesus. The power of God changed their thinking to give them new minds to receive who the Lord was. I don't think it's anything different in the day we're living now. We think we're ready, and religion will always give you that kind of deceptive feeling, that self-righteous, well, yeah, I'm pretty knowledgeable of the Word and going to church all my life. I'm ready for Jesus coming back and whatever God wants to do. You know what? The more I look at the Lord, I don't know how ready I am. Spirit's moving in the earth. I know that. I'm just saying, I feel like when I was younger going to college, I used to hitchhike out to State College. My thumb would be out and someone would give me a ride. It's kind of like the way the Spirit moved on me. I had my thumb out. God, I'm open. Holy Spirit picked me up and something started. I feel I'm doing the same thing now. my thumbs out, saying, Lord, I'm not sure where I am in all this. All I know is I want you. I want that relationship with you. I want your Holy Spirit to lead me. I don't want to be doing works. I don't care if the religious world would be totally impressed with it. To me right now, that doesn't matter. Holy Spirit, if you want to pick me up for another ride, I'm for it. But whatever happens, it's got to be a relational reality born out of oneness with you, not out of religion. If we accept the ministry of John the Baptist, Elijah, what it is the power of the Spirit to change our thinking from religion to seeing the Lord as a living, loving, intimate relationship. Amen.